All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible and you have a phone, pull open your Bible app. That would be awesome. I'll also have it on the screen. We are in the middle of our series called As It Is in Heaven, and we've been going through the Lord's Prayer. We kind of started last week a little bit because one thing that we noticed was that the disciples saw Jesus praying and said, "Hey, Jesus, we want to pray like that." Like they saw Jesus connect with his Father in a way that they had not understood. And they're like, "We want that. We need that. Teach us how to pray." So Jesus gives a little bit of an outline to prayer. Right? He gives a little bit of an outline, gives a little bit of a pattern to what prayer should be like. And that's what we're digging into during this season. We're starting our year, right, on our face, praying that God is here and that God is working, that God is doing something. Last week, if you've engaged in our 21 days of prayer, last week we passed out these bookmarks. We're going to do it again this week. Last week, we focused on ourselves, right? We focus on ourselves where we're saying, "God, change me. God, I confess this. God, I want my heart to be new." And then this week, we're going to focus on others, right? So we're going to focus kind of on each other. We're going to focus on groups of people like refugees, like orphans and widows. And we're going to focus on people that we can be lifting up and we can be praying for. If you haven't connected with the 21 days, like us on Facebook, like Level 13 on Facebook, and you will see the post each and every day, each and every morning. There's a new post. There's a devotion there, a scripture that you can run through, and it'll just kind of lead you in these 21 days. I got to be really familiar with this when I tore my Achilles, right? Got to be really familiar. If you've had injuries and stuff, you know. If you had sickness, you know. You get to be really familiar with these things. I got pain meds, which was awesome, you know, that helped me through my day, you know. And then they also gave me this other medicine that, like, because the pain meds are evidently, you know, they make you sick, and so they gave me another medicine to help the thing that's supposed to help me not make me sick, right? And so they gave me that, and that was awesome. I was very thankful for that. But, you know, any medicine that we get, any prescription, whether it's under the counter or over the counter, under the counter, there are always some side effects that could happen. Some of them, as you hear, you know, like the commercials and stuff, and you're like, "Why would I ever take that?" You know? Like, "I'm going to grow another arm? I'm not going to take that." So they always come with this, with these side effects, possible side effects, and so they put on this warning label. The problem is they write them so small. But like this one right here. Right? This is just a pain medicine. It's not mine. I don't have any left, but this is just a pain medicine, and I'm not taking these. So, it says, though, may cause drowsiness and dizziness. Careful using vehicle, vessel, or machines. He says, don't take more than is recommended because you might get serious liver problems and might cause breathing problems, right? So, it's saying, you know, this could help you, but it could also cause you a lot of difficulties. They have to put that warning label on there, right? Like, something that's meant for good, right? It has some things that you're just like, "Hey, this is good, but don't forget about this." Right? Don't forget that this is a possibility, that this could happen. We see this exact same thing in regards to prayer in Matthew chapter 6. This is what we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. This is Jesus. He's talking and he says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Verse 7, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So we have this warning, and this is the warning. The warning is prayer is not about your show or your flow. Right? It's not about being showy in public. so that people see you and they think that you're super spiritual or something. And it's not about reciting these phrases, this perfect phrase. It's not about the $10 words that you can use so that other people think you're smarter than you actually are. He says, be careful, because it's not about your show. It's not about your flow. He says, be careful not to make prayer all about you, because when you do, you miss out. You miss out on the relationship that God desires for you. Instead, go inside, sit with him, rest in the relationship. And then he goes on and talks about what that relational prayer looks like. We see in Psalm chapter 27, we see King David. The Psalms are really King David's prayer life. And so he is praying and he is saying these things. And this is what he says. He says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. My heart has heard you say, God, come talk to me. And I respond, I'm coming. Jesus wants to talk with us. He wants to talk. He says, talk to me. And the heart of God is that talking is part of this relationship. Out of that relationship comes prayer. Out of that relationship comes a deeper and deeper connection with him, because real prayer is driven by relationship. It's driven by relationship. So Jesus gives us this pattern to this relational prayer. Verse 9, he says, this then is how you should pray. I want you to notice something there. What does he say? He says, this then is how you should pray. He does not say, this is what you should pray. That doesn't mean we shouldn't recite the Lord's Prayer. That's something that we should do. But he's not saying, hey, this is the exact words you need to say every time that you pray. He's saying, this is how you pray. This is like a pattern, right? This is like a little bit of a framework. When you pray, you can think of these things and it'll give you a little bit of framework. So we start. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I don't know if you saw it, but the very first thing Jesus says, the way that we need to start prayer, the way we need to enter into prayer, is with worship. And he does this in two different ways. He says that we need to start by saying, Father. Father. Now, that term is rarely used in the Old Testament. Right? It's like hardly ever used, and it's never used. You never say Father in the Old Testament when he's addressed personally in prayer. However, when it comes to the New Testament, everything changes. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it said 65 times he is called Father. And in John, the book of John, over 100 times he is referenced as Father. So Jesus teaches us this framework of prayer, and the way we're supposed to approach God is as a father. To see him as someone who cares. To see him as someone who is with you, someone who is close, someone who is tender and compassionate. Father, who art in heaven. And then he goes to the next section. The next sentence says, the second way that we're supposed to start with worship is through the word hallow. It says, start with Father and go to hallow. Now, hallowed is not a word that we use in everyday conversation. If you do, that's strange, but right, it means to set apart from everything else. Set apart from everything else. So you could do this exercise. I'll do this exercise here, and you guys can do it in your mind. So you could have things in your life, like the important things in your life, and you could list those important things, right? So we could just name some of them, like family, right? I mean, the first one that comes to your head is family. And so I'll write that down. Family is something that is very important. It definitely should go on our list. And then we could go to, you know, something else that is important, something else that we spend a lot of time at, is our career. Our career. And, you know, we spend a lot of time there. It's important, you know. It's something that God gives us, that God gives us so that we can support our family, so that we can do what we need to do. So there is our career, and then, you know, you could say your friends, right? That's important. Your friends is important. Your relationships that you have. Did I spell that right? I before E. Anyway, I think that's right. So your friends, you're praying, you know, those are things that are important in your life, and they definitely should go on your list. And then for me, one that I would definitely put on the list is golf, right? I mean, it's important, right? It's important to me, right? So maybe it's not important to you, but, you know, maybe it should be. But it's something that's important to me. I was talking the other day. It's like, okay, I'm going to have a full year. You know, knock on wood. That's not real wood. But then I'm going to have a full year of golf. I'm so excited, right? I'm so excited. But anyway, your hobby, whatever your hobby is, right? For some, maybe it's someone who makes music. Maybe someone who plays video games. Maybe it's another sport. You know, maybe it's pickleball. You know, whatever it may be, there's something hobby that you have. You know, for some people, guns is their hobby. You know, I don't know if that's you. I know there's people here that have that as a hobby. I read a story this morning, and I think it's hilarious. It's a little bit of a sidebar, but talking about someone's hobby, because and it was guns, and he was posting it, and this happened to him on Friday, and he was his wife was in the living room, and he was in the bedroom, and you know, he just like get the gun out, and you know, and just like polish it and clean it, and I don't know what you do with them, but anyway, evidently there's a lot that you do with it. So he had it apart and all this, and he's putting the thing back together, and he cocks the thing and everything, and he's getting it ready, and he sticks around in, because you know, it's just him and his wife. They're a little bit older, so there's no kids around, so he keeps one in the chamber all the time just in case. So he somehow it gets jammed. It gets jammed, and I don't know what he was thinking. He doesn't know what he was thinking, but to unjam it, what he did is he pulled the trigger in his bedroom. He's on his bed. He's doing this thing on his bed, and so this is what happens. He shoots the bed. And the bullet goes through the sheet, through the blanket. It goes through the top mattress, right? It goes through the next mattress, too. It goes through the bed frame. It goes into, like, the wood through the bed frame. It goes into his wife's, like, where she puts clothes that she's not wearing during the winter. And he opened that up, and there's holes in, like, three pairs of pants, and then there's the bullet. Anyway, some hobbies are a little bit more dangerous, but anyway, so... For me, golf. Another one for me that I would put on here, and you guys would all get it, is coffee. You know, it's just important, right? It's got to be on the list. It's got to be on the list. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We love that. We love coffee. So what we can do then is we can put it in order, right? Like what's important, what's the most important, and things like that. We put them in order in our head. You could put yours in order in your head right now. And so we could do that. We can put it in order of importance. And just we have that list. So do you notice something that's not on there? God. Right? So God's not on the list. And so before you start thinking, who is this guy? Should he really be up here teaching us? If God's not listening, I want to show you this. So this is the deal, though. When we hallow God, he's not on the list. He's on his own list, right? He's on his own list. We don't put him in the list of things. He gets his own. Because when he gets his own, that changes everything else. It changes how we see everything else. You know, so many times, and I just prayed this up here, I prayed, God, may they see the cross and not me. See, when we have God here, we don't see those other things. We see God, and God changes all of those other things. He says, start by saying, Father, hallowed is his name. We lift his name up. We put it in a place. We set it apart from everything else. That is what we do when we hallow his name above all else. See, the problem is that most of us, though, we get Father, right? We get Father, and perhaps you even get the hallowed part, but we don't get both. Like putting them together somehow makes us, you know, go into convulsions. We don't get both of those things at the same time. Because when we just get the hallowed part, religion becomes this extra thing, becomes this separate, sterile, superficial thing, something that is there, something that I do on Sunday. but it's not a part of the rest of my life. It's something completely separate. When that's the case, we never know the God we claim to worship. But see, when we just get the Father part, then we make God into this easygoing, forgetful figure, or whatever picture you may have of an earthly father. But see, what Jesus says is we start with worship, but in order to start with worship, we have to realize who it is that we worship. See, whether you know it or not, you just prayed for like 20 minutes. I mean, we call it worship, and we have words on the screen, right? And you were reciting these words in a musical sense for some of you. Some of you, it's not so musical, I've heard you. But we have words on the screen. We call it worship, but it really is more than that. It's a prayer. I don't know if you knew that, but you pray for a solid 20 minutes, right? And then you pray some more in the middle of service. Then you pray some more at the end of service. You spend like over 30 minutes in prayer every single week, and you thought you couldn't pray that long. But it's true. I mean, just look at these lyrics. Look at the lyrics. This is the first song that we sang today. It says, it's called Only King Forever. It says, our God, a firm foundation, our rock, the only solid ground. As nations rise and fall, kingdoms once strong, now shaken. But we trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. You are the only King forever. I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot like prayer. Sounds a lot like prayer. That's communicating to God how we feel about him, what he means to us. Worship is where we start. I mean, if you have kids, you understand this. Maybe this has happened to you. It's happened to me more than once. But how many times have you come home and you've come home from a long day and you kind of sit down on your couch and then you notice one of your kids being extra nice, extra sweet, calling you daddy, you know, daddy, batting those big brown eyes, you know. They start in that way and then they're like, can I get anything for you? And I'm like, yeah, I'd like a cookie. Right? Cup of coffee, whatever it may be. And then they go a little bit further. They're asking how your day went. And, you know, and then it gets a little weird. They're like, hey, can I sweep the house? Well, I'm slow, but I'm not dumb, right? I know what's coming. I know what's getting ready to happen. There's going to be a big ask, right? They're buttering me up, and they're doing a good job of it, and I love it. Keep doing it, Reagan. But then the next thing you know, hey, can Shelby spend the night? Can I go to the mall? Can I get this? Can I get that? And I'll just tell you what, those big brown eyes, man, saying daddy and all that kind of stuff, that's hard to say no to. Right? And I don't want to because then she'll stop. But here's my point. You might think, well, I get this prayer thing. All I got to do is butter God up. You know, I can manipulate him into giving me what I want. Is that really what I'm talking about? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that there's a difference in attitude and atmosphere when we worship. There's a difference in atmosphere and attitude when we give value right up front. So also in our home, there are times when that's not the atmosphere, like a lot of times when that's not the atmosphere, right? When it can come in and complaining about my day, what do we have for a snack? I mean, I was a kid. I know exactly what that's all about. And it changes the atmosphere in the home, right? So when we start with worship, it changes our attitude and it changes the atmosphere. I think every culture in the world gets this. Every culture, no matter what country you go to, every culture gets this. And you could just think of the greeting. When you greet somebody. So here, I think for the most part, we walk up to somebody, hey, how you doing? And we shake their hands. Right? What we're saying is, hey, how you doing? I like you. Let's talk. right? In other cultures, you know, maybe you're a hugger, right? Where you're just like, hey, how you doing? Hug, you know, and we have this conversation. And then in some cultures, they kiss, sometimes on the cheek. Sometimes it's not on the cheek, which I don't get. But, you know, if you're going to go to another culture, you should understand that. You should know what's happening when you see two people kiss on the sidewalk. You know they're just saying hi or whatever. I know when I was in Uganda and I saw, you know, two people under a tree holding hands talking, I'm like, well, that's strange. And they're like, no, that just means that they like each other and that they're in a conversation together. Right? So they get that. It's all about this adding value right up front. Hi, I like you. We're friends. Let's talk. Right? So entering into the conversation matters. The way we enter into the conversation matters. There is a difference in attitude and atmosphere. See, that's what my kids are doing. And here's the deal. I know my kids love me. But the fact that they wanted something, the fact that they wanted something just gives them the opportunity to show it. Right? That's okay. It's okay. But it can go a little bit too far. Because just like kids sometimes, we can come into prayer thinking that we are the center. That we are the most important thing in the world. But, see, when I worship first, I rightly order my life. Right, the list earlier, this list here, is full of things that we can make God. Full of things that we can hallow. That we can lift up, that we can separate. You know, sometimes the separate list says boyfriend, says girlfriend. The separate list says my job. And then everything else in our life is then looks different, is shaped by that. Is shaped by our career. That list, anything, can become what I worship. But when I stop and I begin to pray that God, my Father, would be hallowed, my order, the order of my life is altered. See, starting with worship, it does something. What it does is it establishes where God is and where I am in the relationship. Starting with worship says, okay, God, you are, I'm elevating you, I'm hallowing you, I am setting you apart as something because I know that I'm not that, I am not God. It rightly orders our relationship. I don't know if you heard of A.W. Tozer, but he's a writer and theologian. And in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, the very first line says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes in our mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Do you believe that? I mean, there are a lot of important things in our life. Our kids are so important. Our jobs are so important. There's so many important things in our life. Do we really believe that the way we think about God is the most important thing? If you think about it, believing rightly about God is foundational to the way we see everything else. So I agree with Tozer, and I hope you do too. Because a right view of God puts shape to everything else. It shapes how we interact with our family. It shapes how we view suffering. It shapes how we view our purpose and our mission. Shapes how we view our career. And it definitely shapes how we view prayer. So we start with worship. Because as we give shape to our thoughts about God, it shapes something in us that allows us to approach God in the right posture. It creates a right attitude in me, and it puts me in a posture of surrender, which is exactly what we find in the next part, this next part of this pattern of prayer. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray from a posture of surrender. But yet, you know what? It's not just surrender. Because honestly, we're okay with surrendering sometimes. We're okay with surrendering some things. But if you're like me, man, I like control. And there's some things that I'm like, yeah, boom. I've done that before. I've gone to an altar. I'm like, God, everything. I just happen to take a few things back with me. And I find myself at the foot of the cross more often than I would like to admit, letting go. Letting go of what I want, my desires, letting go of stuff, letting go of my ideas, just letting go of control. I mean, we all know we need to do it. We've heard it so many times. We all know that we need to do it. We need to surrender to God. But it's so hard. No, Rob, you got to open every door in your house. No, that means that closet too. Are you sure? Because I like that closet. We know we need to do it. It is just so hard to do. We read in chapter 26 of Matthew, we read about Jesus. Jesus, before he is arrested, he goes into this garden to pray. You know what we talked about last week, that he goes into a certain place and he goes to pray. And this is what we find. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he was arrested. And see, he knew what was getting ready to happen. As he entered into that garden of prayer, he knew that he was going to be lashed on his back 39 times, that his skin was going to be shredded. He knew that there was going to be a crown of thorns that was going to be thrust onto his head and dig into his skull. He knew he was going to be ridiculed. He knew he was going to be spit upon. He knew all of that. He knew that it was eventually going to end in death, an excruciating and painful death. He goes into the garden and he prays. And going a little further, he fell on his face, verse 39 of chapter 26, and prayed, saying, "My Father," what did he just say? What did he start with? "My Father, if it is possible, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." What he's talking about is this cup of suffering. Jesus is saying, I don't want to suffer like this. I don't want to. Jesus felt pain. It says in the Bible that he endured everything that we do. He's tempted in every way that we were tempted. He felt pain just like we feel pain. We know that when his best friend Lazarus died and it says that he wept, he felt that. And he knows what's getting ready to happen, and he's just like, I don't want this. I don't want to do this. But you know what? I was thinking about this. I'm not even sure if that's it. I'm not even sure if it's the pain that he's going to endure. I'm wondering if the thing that he asked for God to take away. See, when Jesus goes to the cross, what happens is he takes upon all of our sin onto his shoulders, right? Everything, every all of humanity's sin he takes upon him. And because of that sin, the penalty of sin is death, he had to die. So he died on the cross. He died in excruciating pain. He died, and then it wasn't until 3 days later that he was risen, right? And so what happened in those 3 days? Let me tell you, and this is what I wonder if he says, can this cup pass from me? For that time, when he had all that sin upon him, he was not in the presence of God. Not in the presence of his Father. I'm wondering. Maybe it is some of the physical pain, but I'm wondering if he says, God, Father, I don't want to feel like this. But God, I don't want to be away from you for a second. Please. Can we think of any other way? Can we think of any other way where I don't have to be separated from you? Jesus is praying, will you take this cup of suffering from me? But see, he finishes that statement, and this is what he says. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Father, I don't want to go through this, but whatever you say, He, if you notice, he prays the exact same statement that he just tells his disciples to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. See, Jesus had a relationship with his Father where he was completely accustomed to surrender. He knew that. He practiced that. You see, throughout his life, he practiced this surrender to his Father, giving up his will, following the Father's will. He even said in John chapter 8, he says, I do nothing on my own authority. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. You know, when things are hard, we default to whatever we've practiced. If you know anything about sports, you play like you practice, right? We fall back to what we're accustomed to. And that's why this 21 days of prayer is so important, is such a big deal. Because if we can start each day, start in worship, in prayer, when you start each day that way, it creates a habit. And then next thing you know, prayer is just part of you. It's just part of your life. It's part of your everyday life. It's part of your all-day life. Late last night, I received a text. I had given Jordan Hansen, and by the way, this is Avery Hansen over here. She's going to hate this right now because she just doesn't like attention. This is Avery Hansen. She was not Avery Hansen until last Saturday, right? A week ago Saturday. So they got married. How awesome is that, right? So awesome. Even more awesome, they got married in Florida. Amen. Jordan is in the reserve, and so now he's in D.C. for the inauguration, doing security and stuff right now. But he sends me a text, and I had given him a book, and he said, hey, I finished the book. And he says, I want to reread it again. Because I realize that the one thing that I have a hard time is letting go of control. Letting go of control of my day, letting go of control of my thoughts. He says, I want to pray all day long. I wake up in the morning, hey God, how's it going? And I go to bed at night saying, Father, good night. Thanks for my day. And all throughout the day, just in this constant conversation, this constant prayer, prayer can be a part of our everyday life. We need to make it into a habit. See, Jesus already practiced surrender. So when it came down to the point where he was getting ready to suffer, although he wasn't thrilled with it, he let go of his desire, let go of the control, and he said, whatever you want, God. Imagine if that's the way it was in your home. Hey, I need you to do the dishes. I need you to take your laundry down. I need you to clean your room. Whatever you want, Daddy. I think I'd fall down, right? I think I'd fall down. J.I. Packer, a writer, he says, the purpose of prayer is not to make God do my will, but to bring my will into line with his. The purpose of prayer is not to make God do my will. It's not to manipulate him into the things that I want. It's not to make me the center of it. It is to bring my will, which is faulty, in line with his, which is perfect. Are you willing? Are you willing to fully surrender? Think of in your mind right now, what's that one area? What is it? What is it? You're holding on to. Is it your kids? Because let me tell you, that's hard to do. It's hard to do. Is it something at work? Is it in your marriage? Is it what you want out of the marriage that you hold on to? And you expect them to just do that? Is there something in your finances? You know, we went through this series in November, you know, The Blessed Life, and we're talking about giving, and we're talking about being generous and everything. And I honestly think that's the one area that probably most of us hold on to tight. I earned that. I worked hard for that. When I see that paycheck, that translates into this that I can have, right? What is it? What is that thing. Can you? Are you willing to fully surrender? If you're not, then maybe what you need to realize is that something on that list is getting its own list. Something on that list you are hallowing. You are worshiping. There's a place in our hearts that's only set up, that's only carved out, that's only designed for God. Can you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done? Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we want to be a part of whatever lifts you up, whatever exalts your name, whatever honors your name, Father. We want to be a part of whatever sets your name apart, whatever glorifies you. That's what we want. We want your kingdom to be real here. Not just in this room, Father, we want your kingdom to be real as we leave. That, Father, that we are taking that, we are taking the presence of the Holy Spirit which lives in us into every place in our world. Into those dark places that you illuminate through us. Father, we want to lift you up. We want your kingdom to be real here as it is in heaven. We want your will to be done because we know. We know who you are. We know you are our Father who will do good for us. Because you are not only a great God, but you are a good God. You are for us. So, Father, we honor you. We honor you. We honor you in our worship. We honor you in our prayer. We honor you in our homes, in our jobs. We surrender everything to you. We pray all of this in the amazing name of Jesus. Amen.